This is an exciting day because we're celebrating victories. I love celebrating victories, don't you? I'll be honest with you. I love to win. I don't know if it's more that I love to win or I hate to lose. As a basketball coach for the last several years, coaching at Rivergate and then here at Echo Hills, I'm not that great at drawing out plays on the board. I mean, we hand the board to Jeff. Jeff draws up the plays. Right, Sean? We let him draw up the plays. It's Sean and I's job to be motivators. And as a coach, I think your number one trait, your number one priority is you have to be one that wants to win. And wants to instill an attitude of winning, an attitude of championship, of victory into whatever team that you're coaching, into their heart. And it's not always easy to instill that attitude. But I absolutely love to win. And I despise losing. And I understand that winning is not everything. Okay, we preach that to our guys here. Winning is not everything, but it's nice. There are a lot of things you can gain from losing, but I would rather win. I'd rather gain what we have to win from. I'd rather gain those things from winning. And I think all of us are in that situation. You're always going to suffer defeats. You give your hardest, you try your best, and you're sometimes going to lose. You're sometimes going to gain those character lessons. You know, as we try to tell our team, well, we gained a lot of character from that game. But I like to win. What would life be like without victory? If everything that you did in life was a failure and you never had those small victories to kind of boost you up and to kind of keep you motivated and to kind of give you the energy that you need to move forward, what would life be like if you never got a chance to taste victory? I don't think it would be very good. Do you? I think it would be very exciting. One small or one large victory can overcome a lot of defeats. We've been shooting for a championship here at Echo Hills for as long as we've been here, seven going on 8 years. And I never had one. We've been in the championship several times and just never could quite get over the hump. Mike would miss a big shot or something and help cause us to lose. You know, or dribble one off his foot or, you know, whatever. But just couldn't get over the hump. And Mike has played with us for a long time. Mike and Sean, Marcus, some of these guys have been around here for a long time. Keelan. It's hard to get there to the brink and to lose. But this one victory will carry us for years to come. Now, doesn't mean we're not going to try to win. But victory is so sweet. I want to talk this morning just real briefly about three victories, three types of victories in our lives. And I want to use some biblical examples, and then I want to talk about some personal examples to try to talk about these types of victories that we will face and have faced and are always going to face in our lives. The first victory is the personal victory. The personal victory. We have several in this room that we're celebrating today that have or are about to experience one of those great victories of life. Maybe the first milestone victory that we face. And that's graduation from high school. Right? We shoot for that ever since from the time we're in kindergarten. We're not saying, boy, I hope I graduate kindergarten. Okay, well, we're not saying anything really at that point. Our parents aren't saying, I hope we graduate kindergarten. If we can just get up through kindergarten, you know, then we'll be good. Kindergarten diploma does not get you a very good job. Elementary school diploma, maybe a little bit better job, but not too good. The victory that we're seeking is to walk across that stage, right? And to get that diploma in our hand and to hang that thing up on our wall and be proud of it. And that victory then helps us to achieve other victories. But you know what? I can look at that diploma and I don't want to discount God's hand in it. And I just don't want to discount the hand of those around us who encourage us, our good teachers, and those people who are involved in the process. But I can look at that diploma and I can say, I did that. That's all me. It's personal victory. See, I remember the late nights that I studied, or the times I was supposed to and didn't. Or I remember those classes that were tough. I remember those times when I just didn't feel like going to the next thing. Band practice was running late, and I just did not feel like going to, but I went ahead and did it anyway, and I pushed through. Some graduate with high honors, and some graduate with the honor that they call Lottie Lottie, right? Thank the Lottie, right? But that diploma in your hand is such a personal victory. And that it makes you feel great. And those of you who have been through that and have even gone on to college diplomas and have gone on to advanced degrees, like some of us in this room have, master's degrees and stuff, every time you receive that diploma, it gives you a good feeling. You can say this: I did that. Now, I understand God was there and He was helping me through it, but it was me. I think about a personal victory in the Old Testament from 1 Samuel chapter 17. Very familiar story. David faces the giant. David walks out and he sees that the army is not courageous enough, even as a group, to stand up against Goliath, right? So they're looking for their most valiant warrior. And this little scrawny kid named David walks up and says, "I'll do it." Voice cracking, you know, "I'll take him." "Well, okay, well, let me pile you down with all my weapons, and let me give you, you know, give me my bazooka and all this." And so he's carrying all this stuff out there. And he's like, "I don't feel comfortable with this." And so he takes it all off. And what does he go to? Reaches down in his bag and he pulls out this little sling. And everybody's like, "Really? You gotta be kidding me." David takes that sling and he whacks it around his head and he takes that stone and hits the giant right in the head by total accident, right? As he was doing this, and he did it, he totally missed. And God went, and made the stone go and hit him in the head, right? Why did he hit the giant in the head? He had practiced and practiced and practiced and practiced. It was all him. It was his skill. Now, I'm not saying God wasn't involved, and I'm not saying that it wasn't encouragement from those around him, but it was his skill. If he hadn't taken the time to practice and taken the time to work on that particular skill, he may have used all 5 stones and then he'd start running. But David was confident that when he slung that sling around, he was going to hit it exactly where he wanted. Because he had sat there day after day after day and had hit rocks and had hit trees and had hit animals and hit, and he had practiced to where he had it down. This is on battle. "I got the giant." He looks around. Who's behind him? Figured his brothers at least, right, would be there to back him up. Nobody. He's standing there all alone. Except for God. But David's personal victory. Man, don't you imagine what it felt like as he slew the giant? Knowing that all that practice that he had done had paid off. He knew that skill would come in handy at some point. And now here it was, personal victory. And he was able to say, "You know what, that's all me, except for God's help, of course." Now think about, we talked about graduation, there's a lot of other personal victories in life, aren't there? There are different difficult things that we go through in life. There are sins that we have problems with. There are spiritual issues in our lives. And there are some things sometimes I just have to deal with on my own. Sean and I teach the high school class, and we see things that we try to help them with in their life, and we talk about different things that they can do to develop character and to overcome fear and all this stuff. But that class means absolutely nothing until what? They do it themselves. So this type of one, the first type of victory that we're going to accomplish, and some people that we're celebrating today have accomplished, is this idea of a personal victory. Second, the team victory. There's some things you can't do by yourself. Try building a basketball team and go 1-on-5. Ask LeBron James how that works out. He's one of the most superior athletes in the NBA. If he doesn't have a good team around him, he ain't going to win a championship. Sometimes a victory has to involve a team. The thing about a team victory, though, is there's a lot of difficult and interesting challenges that are unique to the team victory that aren't involved in the individual victory, right? Think about our team. Came into the season and we thought we could win it. We really did. We thought we could win it. Didn't help that then the president, head of the league comes up to me and said, "I got you down for this year, guys." Gives us his vote of confidence that this is going to be your year. I see that you're going to do it. Well, you know, our heads all swelled up. Well, we're going to do it then. Everybody thinks it's our time, you know. It was going pretty good for a little while. Then we hit this one game. Inner City was a close game, and we were, you know, it was nip and tuck. We were expecting it to be really close, but then we came across this other team that we kind of underestimated. We thought just because we have Echo Hills written on our jerseys, we're going to go in there and just win, you know? Found out different. Got embarrassed. I'll never forget, and I know Sean will never forget this either, the next practice. And I know these guys will never forget this practice. Got in a little circle. And honestly, I'll be honest with you. Up until this point, for the last several years, Jeff has been kind of the silent. He coaches the games and whatever, but this year, Jeff decided I'm all in. He threw his cards in all the beginning of the season. And he dressed those boys down in practice like I've never seen. Now, he was nice about it. I mean, he didn't, you know, pull any Bobby Knights or anything. But I mean, he said, You need to step it up. Each individual guy looked him in the face. You need to remember that? Quez, where are you? Would you show up? Why don't you show up to the games? Okay, I mean, every individual guy, you can just see him. They're like, and then the next guy, who was them? And he's like, Lamont, I can see his face now. That's because Jeff turned to him and went like a human. But the thing that, here was our problem. And this is the one of the challenges of the team victory is you got to get 10 guys on the same page. You got to get 10 guys or 12 guys or 20 guys or however many guys are on the team. You got to get them focused on the same thing. So we had some guys focused on their own stats. We had some guys that were focused on how they looked in the uniform. We had some guys that were focused on, you know, the girls in the stands. We had some guys that were focused on, you know, band. I'm joking. but you know what I'm talking about. And what Jeff was able to do that game, he said, we can win this, or that practice, if we will all shoot for the same thing. We'll all focus and have a same plan. And if you'll run the plays like we tell you to run them, if you will listen to us, if you'll run the press, if you'll do this, if you'll do that. And the rest is history for us. We played great the rest of the season. And it's a testament to getting those guys kind of focused on the same thing. I was thinking about a story from the Old Testament. And I was thinking about the story of Gideon. And Gideon's getting ready to face the Midianites, who was this huge army, some of the greatest warriors that's ever lived. And he's getting ready to face the army. He calls it, puts the call out. All right, we're going into battle. 22,000 guys show up. God said, too many. That's not a good team. That's not going to work. What you need to do is say, okay, guys, whoever's afraid, go home. Who's afraid, go home. 12,000 guys went home. Where would those guys have been when they started the battle? They just been tucked and running right before the battle even started, right? Oh, he's got a sword. I better run. Then he's like, okay, 10,000. Still a small number, but here we go. And then he's got, no, 2 minutes. And he gives them this other little test where they have to bend down at the river, right? And the ones that drank out of the river a certain way were the ones that they kept. And so he ends up and he looks around and he's like, 300 guys. Just imagine the Bridgestone Arena full of people, and all but 300 people leaving. Something's wrong here. 300 against 50,000. But here's what he did. He got those guys focused. God told Gideon and gave him a plan, and he said, "Here's the plan. You're going to all scatter around. See, one guy couldn't have done it, right? It couldn't have been an individual victory. Gideon couldn't have stood out there with his torch and done what he did. Ah, wouldn't have scared anybody, right? One torch. Wow. You know, a star, a shooting star, you know? I mean, spread around the camp. And at the precise moment that he said to do it, they broke the jar and they blew the trumpets and they yelled and the Midianites went nuts and they all killed each other and it was a victory. A lot of times in life, victories depend on teamwork. They depend on working together. And we found that out in this season. We found that we're going to find it out later on in life. You're going to find it out throughout the rest of your life. You can't always make it by yourself. That's what God's family is all about, right? One guy walking out into the world and saying, believe in Jesus. Or would you rather have 50 people walking together saying, believe in Jesus? That's a little bit more effective, right? A little bit better. Third. I jotted this down. I said, what they had was, they had, number one, they had a good coach. Now, that's one thing we did not really have. Good coach, they had a good plan, and then they executed the plan, right? That's pretty much what we're talking about all season. All right, third. How about the impossible victory? You ever come into a situation where you looked at it and you said, I can't win? It's impossible. I can't defeat whatever this particular thing is in my life. I can't go against this enemy. I can't go against, it's just too big. It's like when you start, you know, you start into college and you see the classwork that you have to do, and you're like, I can't accomplish that. But that's not impossible, right? We've seen other people do it. What about those impossible victories? This one is, everybody's going to know where I'm going with this, probably in the Old Testament, is the story of Joshua and Jericho. Here's Joshua, and God says, he got his guys all pumped up, and we're ready to go. And God says, wait a minute, here's the game plan. Here's the battle plan. First day, take everybody and just walk around the city. Okay, then the next day, we're going to attack. Nope, second day, walk around the city. Third day, fourth day, fifth day, sixth day. Then we're going to attack. No. And you're going to walk seven times around. Just blow your trumpets. Be loud. And the walls are going to fall down. Just imagine what a man of faith Joshua had to be. That's a terrible plan. Right? I mean, for a battle? Really? Unless, of course, it's God's plan, right? You look at that and you say, That's impossible. You can't walk around a city and go. You ever watch these things on the History Channel sometimes where, I know you don't, okay. Ridge probably does. Ridge does. Where they try to explain the biblical miracles. They say, well, there's probably a million people walking around and the ground probably moved at X, and so the walls fell down because of the great impact of the people walking. Really? That is the stupidest thing I've ever heard of. The reason I try to explain it is because it's impossible without God. Seems like I remember a verse that says, with God, all things are possible. So anything that seems impossible, the victories that seem impossible, if God's involved, if it's God's plan, then it can be accomplished. And we know how that story ended. The story ended where the walls fell down and they had the victory. And you know what? I bet there wasn't a single person claiming that they helped with that victory. It was all coaching. Joshua, boy, he's a good coach, right? It had nothing to do with that. It had nothing to do with the fact that you know, one, I screamed so loud that man, I know that was me. They could take no credit. The victory was there, and they could not take the credit because it could not have happened without God. Turn with me real quick to a passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We're going to end with this passage. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And we're going to look starting in verse 50.
Verse 50. Paul says this. He says, I declare to you, brothers, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Okay, Paul. So what you're trying to tell us is that we cannot inherit the kingdom of God. That we cannot go to heaven. Because what you've just told me is that flesh and blood cannot inherit the heaven, cannot inherit the kingdom of God. That's what I am. So what he's told me is it is impossible to go to heaven. Because of who I am. I'm a mortal being. And mortal beings, flesh and blood, cannot go and be in God's kingdom, right? That's what Paul's just said. Fortunately for us, it doesn't stop there. He doesn't. That's not where he ends. That'd be a pretty depressing message, wouldn't it? He continues on. But I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will be changed. In a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable. Aha! When the resurrection comes, I'm going to have a body that's imperishable. And we will all be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself with imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality, then the saying is written, that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. We have won. The impossible victory. And that victory is over flesh, and over blood, and over death, and over sin. Paul says it's possible to win. The impossible victory. Because of what God has done. Look at what he continues. Where, O death, is your sting? Where, O death, is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. You ever lost anything, you realize what that sting is, right? What that sting feels like? Especially if you hate losing as bad as I do. It says there's no sting. Death's not going to win. We're going to win. And then the verse at the end, he says, but thanks be to God. He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. If it weren't for God, if it weren't for Jesus, if it weren't for what he has done for us, we couldn't win. We couldn't win this impossible victory. Do you understand what the word impossible means? It cannot happen. Fortunately for us, the God we serve makes all things possible. Here's the question today. I was thinking about how to end it. We're all going to face personal, and we're all going to achieve personal victory. We're all going to achieve team victory. But this verse just keeps coming to my mind. I know you got to change it up a little bit. This is the DSV, the David Standard Version. What good is it if you win everything in this world and you lose your soul? What good is it? You know what? I'm on a high right now because of this basketball winning tournament championship. Still getting high fives from some of the area coaches and stuff. And you know, still like, man, y'all's team. I'm like, yeah, man. I'm sorry. But standing at the day of judgment, it's going to be the last thing on my mind. I mean, it's going to diminish over the course of time. I'm never going to forget it. I'm never going to forget winning. But I'm not going to care. When it comes time to find out whether I'm acceptable to God or not, whether my soul is going to be able to live with God in heaven. What good is it If I graduate from high school and I celebrate the victory, graduate from college, if I get the best job in the world, if I have whatever this world has to offer and I win at everything, what good is it if I go to hell? If I lose my own soul? It's not good. It's not worth it. I want to be a winner. But mostly I want to win a reward in heaven. I want to win. I want to be like Paul when he says, my reward is waiting. I've gone through this life and I've achieved victory, but it's a spiritual victory that I'm most concerned with. And the only way I achieve it is if God is there with me. Question for you, and the song that I chose for the invitation is, victory in Jesus. Where else is victory? It talks about how, you know, Jesus has given himself for us in order to allow us to have victory. And 1 Corinthians 15:57 comes to mind, right? When it says, thanks be to God, gives us victory through Jesus Christ. Are you living a life of victory in Christ or one of you? Let's all stand together as we sing.